The scripture today is from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 to 9. If only you would rip open the heavens and come down to earth, its heights and depths would quake the moment you appear, like kindling when it just begins to catch fire, or like water that's about to boil. If only you would come like that, so that all who deny or hate you would know who you are and be terrified of your grandeur. We remember that long ago you did amazing things for us that we had never dreamed you'd do. You came down and the mountains shook at your presence. Nothing like that had ever happened before. No eye had ever seen, and no ear had ever heard such wonders. But you did them then for the sake of your people, for those who trusted in you. You meet whoever tries with sincerity of purpose to do what you want, to do justice and follow in your ways. But you became so angry when we rebelled and committed all sorts of wrongs. We have continued in our sins for a long time. So how can we be saved? We are all messed up like a person compromised with impurity. Even all our right efforts are like soiled rags. We are drying up like a leaf in autumn and are blown away by wrongdoing. And it's so sad because no one calls out to you or even bothers to approach you anymore. You've been absent from us too long. You left us to dissolve away in the acrid power of our sins. Still, Eternal One, you are our Father. We are just clay, and you are the potter. We are the product of your creative action, shaped and formed into something of worth. Don't be so angry anymore, O Eternal. Don't always remember our wrongs. Please look around and see that we are all your people. This is God's word.
The prophet said, come down, come down, where are you? I read again a passage from the Bible. If only you would come like that, so that all who deny or hate you would know who you are and be terrified of your grandeur. The prophet is convinced that there is no hope apart from God's decisive action. It is not enough to address God's people and the nations and urge them to do better next time. The world cannot be repaired this way. In fact, it can't be repaired from below at all. It must be made new from above. So the prophet turns to God and he utters a prayer. Rip open the heavens, come down, strike your enemies with terror. Do for us what you did for people in times past. This is what it will take to restore God's people, illumine the nations, and repair a world desperately broken by sin. Well, last night I went to my little iPad here, and the minister's nightmare happened. I pressed a button and whoosh, it was gone. It was not able to be retrieved. It was like, oh no. No, this can't be happening. Didn't make it to Chinese congregation. Sorry, Gianna. It was just one of those moments that we dread. So here we go again. I admit that I'd sat uncomfortably with what I'd written. I'm not sure I'm even more comfortable now with what I've written. On the way here, I was talking with God and I was saying, look, God, just drop away what it is that's just my words. Just let the people hold on to what's important. from you. Yes, this is the first Sunday in Advent. Did you know it's also the first Sunday in the Christian year? The Christian calendar actually begins with the first Sunday in Advent. And yes, there is hope in this sacred space where God, through his Spirit, breathes in us and through us. And yes, I hold hope that God is at work within you, and my words fall away and those from God stay with you. We are all clay in the potter's hands. So we begin. This reading is not to be embraced firstly with the mind. This is a heartfelt cry from the prophet Isaiah. This is his prayer. This comes from Messiah's heart to his God, our God. We should not be willing to sit politely and listen. We need to be prepared to hear and feel the crying out, "Where are you, God? Are you near? Are you coming soon?" My head inserts its own thought, "God's time or my time?" We know the answer. I admit that I read this passage and it took me into some dark places. Well, at least into some shadowy space. More questions than answers. Deep spaces around, where am I looking? Where do I engage to better understand this cry? Have I become dried out like a piece of clay? Do I just read the words, but somehow I have let the world take away the heart of what is being said? Are you near, God? Do you hear me? Where should I be looking to find my hope? Backwards into the Old Testament? The people in Isaiah had an incredible historic story. Eviction, slavery, return to their homeland. But still, they wanted more. I look at the present, the here and now. Can I see the beauty of what God has done throughout your time, my time? Or maybe like me, you might be presently sitting in a shadow land, needing more. I look forwards to the future. What do I want to carry into the unknown that lays ahead of me? Where are you, God? You seem to be a long way away from a world in need. History over wars and land rights, superiority, where a few are holding the people's lives, their livelihoods, their safety. They're holding it over the majority of people. The past carried into the present, and it is enmeshed into the future. Where are you, God? So much darkness around us. Even as Christians, we hide in the shadows. We had a world infested by COVID. Has it changed us? Actually, there was no us in COVID. Isolation changed us to I. Punches were thrown over toilet paper. Funerals without those who wanted to be present. weddings with no guests, babies born but not seen by family and friends, loneliness, depression, anxiety, grades lowered in schoolrooms because they were learning online, parents doing their best. Church services shut down. Where are you, God? Can you not see, Lord? Have we understood how much our world has changed? Are you near, God? How do we now go into the world to spread the good news of hope? Are you close at hand, God, as we once again seek new ways to tell of your love for each and every person, your hope, the stories of old? Take our hand, God. We need you. Isaiah cried out, "Are you listening, God?" God, put yourself amongst us to give us help, to give us hope. A ministry friend, Scott, wrote on Facebook the night before last that he doesn't want anything for Christmas except for more people to know God. Obviously, this man is very hard to buy a present for. But the more I thought about his words, I wondered, what if? What if? What if his family members committed to praying, or his church committed to praying for more people to know God each day for the next year? But not just that, they held themselves accountable to him. They messaged him and let him know, "We continued with your Christmas gift today. We prayed for more people to know God." The thought of that really excites me. That gives me hope. I hope it excites you too. Because we all, each and every one of us, have the power to do that. We can find hope through prayer. You are close at hand, God, as we once again seek new ways to tell the hope story for every one of us who know it and for those who are yet to hear it. So, people, where have you found hope this week? What is the hope for you? Fortunately for me, this microphone, if I'm strong enough, comes off the stand. This question, where have you found hope? What's happened that brings hope to you? I'd love for some of you to share what has brought you hope. And I'm not even going to give two people a chance. I'm walking straight to them.
We have a 10-day-old granddaughter. And that brings hope, doesn't it? The joy of a new baby. So very exciting. Also this week, you don't mind me sharing? I better check. I think he was going to shake his head and say that was okay. Rod's been suffering with, most of you, or a lot of you will realise that Rod's been suffering with neck pain for 12 months-ish. Process of seeing one surgeon and then another surgeon. We saw the surgeon on Wednesday, and next Wednesday he will have his disc fused, which brings us a lot of hope. Pain's not nice. A lot of you who live with pain know how bad it can be. And it's a hope of getting fixed and getting back to doing the things that he loves, including holding grandchildren, which is going to be a little bit hard.
Is there anyone else who is brave enough to share what has brought them hope?
Earlier on this year, I got a bit sick, and the doctors found that I had, at the same time, cancer, COVID, and blood poisoning, all three together. I pulled through. God pulled me through. No doubt in my mind whatsoever.
Thanks, Bill.
All the messages, cards, amazing support that I've had as I head into this fun week have been extraordinary, and I think everybody here and my family and friends and all of that, and it's just been amazing. But last night my niece sent me the most beautifully exquisite picture of a fawn that she'd done on her arm, and she's very talented in face painting and body art, and is now doing it at fetes and parties and all that sort of stuff. And the exquisite picture that she sent me last night was just one of those other things in hope that it's given me. And for the surgeon that will be having fun with me on Tuesday, for her it's just another day at the office. But when I walked into her rooms and she said, oh yes, we can fix this, we just do this, this, this and this. And I walked out of there and I said to my daughter, I can't believe I'm looking forward to open heart surgery. But I thank everybody here and all my family and friends for giving me hope.
I had fractured my foot in the last week or so, and then you sort of feel a little bit desperate as well because you sort of depend on everyone. But I was having coffee with my friend yesterday, and then the hope that I got was he has a purpose for me in life, so this is only temporary, and he will heal me. And so that I can serve him. That was the hope that I had.
I have hope in that this year we've had a few challenges, but we've had some really bright spots too. We've had a granddaughter this year and our son got engaged. And this past couple of weeks I found out my brother had he also had a brain aneurysm, and because I had one, his surgeons decided to operate. So he's now recovering, and they operated because my one had burst and they didn't want him to be the same. So in that sense, I suppose, through my journey, it gave someone else a bit of hope too. And thankfully, he's recovering now.
Thanks, Linda.
Thanks. Some of you will be aware I've been missing a fair bit this year. It's been a pretty tough 2 years with reactions to different medical treatments. And for the first time a couple of weeks ago, I started to feel like I had some energy again and a lot less pain. And as I've reflected on it, I've felt over the last few days, I think somebody's praying for me. Whoever is, thank you very much. And thank you, God, because it's given me hope. I've got a long way to go, but I feel a bit more like my normal self. Praise God.
Thanks, Chris. If there's no one else, I'll just finish off my time up here. Where is the mind of a servant of God, dwelling on the word and searching for truth, observing the world and doing what is right? Where is the heart of a servant of God, fighting for justice for the poor of the land, following Christ's lead and conquering sin? Where is the spirit of a servant of God, yearning for holiness and the things of God, searching for the truth and the life of Christ? Where is the soul of a servant of God, committed to the Lord and the doing of his will, longing for the day when he will come again. Where is the body of a servant of God? Following Christ's example, with love, with care, with hope, living out the gospel, living the hope for the world to see. I asked a few people if they could read this passage and briefly summarise their thoughts. Merrill responded, "My reflection on reading this passage is one of relief that in Christ the kingdom of heaven is revealed to be present amongst us, in us and through us. No longer are we captive to the mystical narratives of the kingdom of this world. There is no one holy place where God is present. Rather, God is to be found everywhere."